Let's look together at the book of Joshua. Look together at the book of Joshua. Every word all year, we made it through the first five books. That's one of the major divisions in Scripture. The first five books, the book of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And it just gives a picture of who God is and what it means to follow God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And it offers the framework that we're going to follow as we just say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I just want to have a heart that is all in on you. Can I get an amen on that? The Lord our God, the Lord is one. I want a heart that is all in on you. I want you to be the first word and the last word. I want to love you with all that I am. My heart, my soul, my mind, my strength, everything I am, following hard after you. And I love the fact that we get to come today to the book of Joshua. Joshua is one of my favorites. But I don't want us to just hear Joshua's story. I want us to invite the Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name, would you form my life by what I learned from here? I want us to see this as a spiritual formation exercise. You may say, Rusty, what does that even mean, spiritual formation exercise? This is not just something for a to-do list. This is something we just want to say, Lord, I want to follow hard after you, and I want you to shape my life according to the pages of Scripture. And so you show me somebody like Joshua, somebody that has been faithful his whole life long, somebody that has come alongside a mentor and learned the ropes. Somebody that when the time came, he was ready to step up and go all in. Somebody that knows what it is to follow and obey. I love the Joshua story. There are some lines in the Joshua story that just fill me. They just fill me, even from the time I was a kid. Because Joshua, his name literally means Jehovah saves. God saves us. Lord, come and save us. He had known God. He had walked with God even in Egypt, and he had gone through the wilderness, and he was following hard after Moses. He one of only two, Joshua and Caleb, that were going to actually get to go into the promised land. Because when he spied out this incredible place, he had faith in God. Right? And he wanted to follow God in obedience. Let me just give you some of the memorable lines. When he says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Three times in Joshua chapter 1, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Have I not told you be strong and courageous? You know why God had to tell Joshua to be strong and courageous? Because he had reason to be afraid. Because he had reason to be afraid. He said to Joshua, he said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I love that. This is not the end of the story. It says this in Joshua chapter 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. And a lot of those people would have thought, this is the end of the story. This is as far as it goes. This is as far as we come. But he says to Joshua, he says, get ready. Get ready, because this is only the beginning. There's this line in Joshua 1 verse 8. I memorized it when I was a kid. It says this. It says, this book of the law, keep it always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to obey everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The word of God, Joshua, for spiritual formation. God, teach my heart how to follow you with strength and courage. And so. We just listen for this get ready kind of word from the Lord. God is up to something in your life. He is. You may not know what it is, but he's up to something in your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. God's promise is yours. And so here's some questions I want to invite you to chew on, okay? You may want to snap a picture of that so you can come back to it later, because I want you to be able to use this. Use this, not just in the moment, but let God work these questions down into you. So here's the first one. What has God been preparing you for? You may say, Rusty, I have no idea what God is preparing me for. I have no idea what God is preparing me. In fact, you may be saying, Rusty, my hunch is that most of what God was going to do with me has already been done. you may be like some of my friends who say, you know what, at my age, and with you may be like some of my friends who would say, I feel like my best days are behind me. But can I tell you something? As long as you're here, God has plans for you. As long as God gives you this next breath, God has plans for how you will invest this next breath. God has plans for you. So what is God preparing you for? You may honestly say, Rusty, I don't know. That's fine. That's a good, honest answer if that's where you're at. But it's not a good place to live. And so as we spend these next few minutes together, maybe you want to have a heart of inquiry with the Lord, a heart that says, Lord, what is it you're preparing me for? God, what is it you're calling me into? What is it that you need to speak strength and courage into my life for? What is it that you need to be speaking strength and courage into my life for? Where do you need to hear those words? Because every one of us has a place where the plan of God or the call of God takes us beyond our comfort zone, takes us beyond our strength, takes us beyond our courage. And by the way, you're in good company there. And you have the promise of God on this, because God says, my strength will be made perfect in your weakness, not in your strength. So when God says, be strong and courageous, that is his way of saying, I have something to place in your hands that honestly will only be realized when you trust me for it. So where is it that God is calling you to be strong and courageous? And what is that call to obedience going to look like? Where's the trigger that you need to pull in your obedience? Because some of you know exactly what it is God is calling you to. You've been hiding from it for a long time. Jack's laughing because he knows what I'm talking about, because there was a call of God on his life that he ran from for a long time. Some of you know exactly what God is calling you to. You just don't want to do it. And it's not even that you don't want to. You're afraid to. You're afraid to because you know it's over your head. You know it's beyond your strength. It's beyond your capacity. You're not smart enough or strong enough. You're not gifted enough as far as you can tell. But again, God's strength is made perfect in weakness. So these are the questions I want you to chew on as we go forward in this. And just invite the Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name, would you form me into the image of your dear son as I walk in obedience and courage after you? Does that make sense? Word of God for spiritual formation. So here's the deal. Joshua was a warrior. He's not the guy who's going to sit placidly by streams of water in green pastures. It's just not him. He's the guy who's fought the battles. He's the guy who's gone out before the nation all this time. He's the guy who, if you could say it this way, he's put God to the test, and God has come through over and over and over again. He's learned, and he's followed, and he's obeyed, and now it's time for him to step up. So when it says, Joshua, get ready, God means it. What is it that God's getting you ready for? And he says this to him. He says, look, he says, Joshua, here's the deal. He says, I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites, I will give you every place where you set your foot. Every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country, all the way to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Can I tell you something that you may not be aware of? Did you know that the God's people, the nation of Israel, they never once in all their history, even at the most expansive of the kingdom, they never once occupied all the territory that God had in mind for them to have. Did you know that? I mean, when he makes this description, when he says, I'm going to give your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea, never once, even under David, even under Solomon, even at the most expansive of the kingdom, they never once fulfilled all that God had for them. You know what? I got a feeling when we get to heaven, we may find that out about our own lives. We may find out about our own lives that God had plans for us that never got realized. That God had calls on our life that we never quite answered. And God loves us, and it's not based on performance. It's not, God's not gonna love you more. But can I tell you something? God's got a plan to reach this world with the gospel. And we are instruments in his hand to see it happen. So maybe it is for us to step forward in faith. Where is it that you need to hear those words? Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you. And everywhere you set your foot, Everywhere you set your foot, it's the same promise that he gave to Abraham. Everywhere the sole of your foot shall tread, I will give it to you. No one will be able to stand against you. But I keep thinking about those words from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they said, our God is able to deliver us, but even if he does not, we still won't bow. So be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. I'll be with you. I'll be with you. I'll guide you. I'll teach you. So I got to tell you this is because most of us will never be called on for the kind of physical battle that Joshua was talking about. This is a history book. It tells about a conquest. It tells about battles. It tells about fights. But it's not just a physical conquest. It's a spiritual conquest. And there are some things that we need to hold on to because, for instance, when Joshua was going out, there was a very real possibility that people wouldn't follow him the way they used to follow Moses. And so in order to establish Joshua in the eyes of the people when they came to the Jordan River, now it's no Red Sea, but it's flowing at flood stage, and it's a pretty effective military barrier against any army that's going to come in from the east. The Jordan River is flowing at flood stage, and God says to Joshua in chapter 2, he says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to part the Jordan River, chapter 3 rather, I'm going to part the Jordan River on your behalf. And so early in the morning, Joshua and the Israelites, they set out, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, as soon as they set foot in the Jordan River, the river sort of rolls up upstream, and they're able to cross through on dry ground. And if that makes you think of the parting of the Red Sea, you're right to do so. It made all those people think so too, and they said, as God was with Moses, God seems to be with Joshua. Maybe we can trust and follow him as well. When it came time for Joshua to go into the promised land, just like Moses, he sent some spies into the promised land. I don't know if you remember that. Moses sent 12 spies into the promised land. Only two of them came back with a good report. So Joshua learned his lesson. He only sent two in the first place. Trick is, find the right two, right? But he sends them in, and here's what they find out. They don't come back this time carrying stories about how big the grapes are. They don't come back this time saying we're like grasshoppers in their eyes. This time, they came back with a testimony. The testimony is from this woman named Rahab. Rahab, who finds her way into the genealogy of Jesus, right? Rahab, who finds her way into the story, the salvation history of the people of God. But if you're not careful, all you know about the story is, all you know about Rahab is her past, known by her profession, known by her failures. But God speaks through Rahab in order to say, your story is more than your history. Your story is more than where you failed in the past. Your story has to do with what God is doing next. And she tells those guys that came in, she tells them, she says, look, the Lord has given you this land. I know that the Lord has given you this land, Joshua chapter 2. I know that the Lord your God has given you this land and that great fear of you has fallen on us. So then, show kindness to my family and me. Can I tell you something? God hears when people throw themselves on his mercy. God hears when people say, Lord, I need you. I need you. But the place I want to call your attention is actually in Joshua chapter 5. Would you go there with me? Joshua chapter 5. It's one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament because it's so visual. It's so vivid. It fills my mind's eye. Joshua. They've crossed the Jordan River. And God has worked miracles. They've recommitted themselves. They've gone through circumcision and they've consecrated themselves to the Lord. No joke, all in. They've heard the testimony. The Lord has struck fear in the hearts of all the enemies and God has already. And so here's the picture. Go with me to Joshua chapter 5, verse 10. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they've already crossed the Jordan River. While camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. Praise God for that. They remembered how God had delivered them from the land of Egypt. 40 years have passed since then. God has carried them successfully. God has provided for them all this time. And they celebrated the Passover in the promised land. This was a memorable moment. But the day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread, roasted grain. And verse 12 says, the manna stopped. And I got to think that Joshua, as a leader, when he realized the manna had stopped, he's got to be thinking to himself, man, it's about to get real. It's about to get real, honestly, because either God's going to provide or we're going to starve. We have not only crossed the Jordan, we've crossed the Rubicon, and there's no turning back. You can't uncross the Jordan River. The manna stopped, and the day after they ate the food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate the produce of Canaan. And I can't help but think, some of you have been in leadership positions and you know the weight that comes when you realize there are people depending on me to get them past this point. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. This is one of those moments. Jason talked about it in the video. By the way, if you're not getting those videos, make sure you get on the mailing list so that you can see that every week when it comes out. There'll be a little encouragement. There'll be a little video just sort of introducing you to the reading this week. You can do that by getting on the email list, or you can even subscribe to the FBC Platte City YouTube channel and just hit the reminder button, and every time one of those new ones comes, it'll just give you the encouragement. Jason talked about it in the video, how this is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. Joshua looks up, he sees this man standing before him with a drawn sword in his hands. You know what puts me in mind of? It puts me in mind of when Nehemiah went to check on the walls at Jerusalem, but he did it at night when no one was looking. I think it's because he really didn't know if he was up for this challenge or not. My picture of Joshua in this moment is Joshua is spending a sleepless night before the Battle of Jericho. My sense of this is that Joshua, as a strategic leader, a military leader, a tactical leader, I got a feeling Joshua is spending a sleepless night because he has no idea how to bring those walls down. He has no idea how to get inside that city. He has no idea how to get from where I am to where God is calling me. And so he's sleepless and he's up. And he sees this man standing with a drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua looks at him. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you with us, or are you for us or for our enemies?" Now, I told the folks in the earlier service, some people, if you saw a man standing with a drawn sword in his hand, you go the other direction, yeah? Leaders are the ones who, when they see trouble, they go toward it instead of from it. Yeah? And so Joshua goes to the, he goes and he says, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" You can take any question you want to the Lord. You can take any question you want to the Lord. And the Lord sometimes will answer your questions, and sometimes he will give you a new question. And that's what he did for Joshua. That's what he did for Joshua. He said, "Joshua, I'm glad you're asking the question, but you're asking the wrong question. The question is not, am I for you or for your enemies? The question is, are you with me?" He says, "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Eugene Peterson, I think it was, who actually is, he was translating the scripture into a new version, a new translation, the Message Bible. He started referring to, in Psalms, over and over and over again, the Lord of angel armies. Did you ever see that line, "the Lord of angel armies"? It made its way into some of the songs that we sing. The God of angel armies, the captain of the host of the Lord, the captain, the commander of angel armies, the commander of the armies of heaven. It is as the Lord of angel armies that I have now come. And the question is not, am I for you or for your enemies? The question is, are you with me? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And Joshua, you may say, "Well, how do you know this is one of those Christophanies you're talking about?" One of those, because here's what it says. He says, Joshua fell face down on the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy." And Joshua did so. And if that puts you in mind of the burning bush, right, when Moses turns aside and God says to him, he says, "Take off your sandals." If that puts you in mind of the burning bush, you're right to think so. Because this is that same order of magnitude when God shows up and begins to speak to your heart. What is it? What is it in your life? Where do you need to hear God say, be strong and courageous? What is God preparing you for? God appears to Joshua and he just begins to tell him, now the gates of Jericho securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went in or out. No one came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've delivered Jericho into your hands. And then he began to just unfold the plan, unfold what the obedience was going to look like for the battle of Jericho. But before we go there, I just want to tell you that as we go in and say, okay, for spiritual formation, Lord, I my hunch is you're not telling me to take up a sword and shield, but you're calling me into some kind of a spiritual conquest, not just a physical conquest. Well, here's the deal, y'all. The weapons of our warfare, we're in a battle. We're in a battle. We're in a battle for our souls. We're in a battle for the souls of the people we love. We're in a battle for our families. We're in a battle for our communities. We're in a battle for our nation and our world, right? In fact, the Lord says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But it's not going to come easy. And it's a spiritual battle, and it's a spiritual conquest. And here's what Paul says. He says, look, the weapons of our warfare, don't be confused, you're in a battle. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're spiritual, to the pulling down strongholds. And you're going to need that. Because I don't know if you know this, but when you came to know Jesus, when you knelt down and you said, Jesus, I get it, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, come into my life. I don't know if you know this, but all the walls didn't come crashing down that day for you. I mean, I've heard stories, haven't you, of people who say, you know what, when I gave my heart to Jesus, just so many things just went away in my life. But that's not the case for everybody. There are some people who would say, you know what, I was still had to fight my addiction, even though I'd asked Jesus in my heart. There are some people who say, you know, I still had to deal with all the hurts and all the brokenness and all the grudges and all the junk that had filled my life. Jesus is now there, and if anyone is in Christ, they're new creation, praise God. But that doesn't necessarily mean that all the junk goes away. Anybody know that for sure? Anybody who doesn't know that, just hang around for a little while. You'll see it. It's true. And you need to know this. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're spiritual, to the pulling down of those strongholds. Whether it's addictions, whether it's relationships, whether it's whatever it may be, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. Here's another one for you. They overcame him, Revelation chapter 12. They overcame him, that is the accuser of the brethren, the one who goes about like a roaring lion, seeking him he may devour, the enemy of your soul. The one who wants to trip you up and tear you down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony of Jesus. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. In other words, the battle is the Lord's, not just yours. Praise God for that, by the way. The battle is the Lord's, not just yours. And it has to do, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony of Jesus. In other words, the blood means nothing until it's applied to my heart. Jack's the only one who gets what I'm saying there. Let me unpack it for you a little further. Because you can know about Jesus, but until you throw yourself on the mercy of Jesus, until you come to the Lord with a heart that says, I need you. I need you for the forgiveness of my sins. I need you to save my soul. Until you apply the blood of the Lamb to your heart. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. Here's how God called me. Here's how God met me. Here's when God reached his strong right arm and carried me to himself. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony of Jesus, because it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Not by might, not by... And so the word of God for spiritual formation, Joshua for spiritual formation, Lord, in Jesus' name, would you teach me to trust you? Lord, in Jesus' name, would you teach me to follow you? And so here's the Jericho obedience. Let me just read you part of this from Joshua chapter 6. The Lord speaks to Joshua and he says, verse 2, Joshua 6, verse 2, the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. And it's interesting because the Lord speaks it as if it were already done. Jericho's still standing on the hill. Joshua's still sitting there on a sleepless night trying to listen for God's plan. And God says, I have delivered them into your hands. He speaks about it as if it were already done. He speaks about it as if it were already done. And he says, march around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry the trumpets and the ram's horns in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear the sound of a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. And then the wall of that city will collapse and the army will go up and everyone will go straight in. And for a military guy who's looking for a strategy, who's looking for a battle plan, I got to tell you, he's probably thinking to himself, is there a plan B? I mean, he may be thinking tactically to himself, Lord, okay, we'll march around, but could we at least stay just about 5 feet farther than a bow shot? I mean, there's got to be something in Joshua that's thinking, okay, Lord, I don't get it, but I'm going to obey anyway. Let me read you this that he says to the people. He says, Joshua, verse 10, he says, Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry, do not raise your voices, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, and then shout. So there was silent obedience, right? Don't say a word. I don't know if you've ever had to walk in silent obedience to the Lord when the people around you didn't get it, why you're doing what you're doing. Why you're taking the stand you're taking. They couldn't understand it, and God just sort of, I don't know if you've ever had a time when the Lord just sort of put his hand over your mouth and just said, just trust me. Just trust me. Just trust me. Silent obedience. There's a persistent obedience. Joshua, he says to Joshua, he says, walk around the city. Do that once a day for 6 days. Can you imagine day 4? Day 5? When you're walking around the city yet again and nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. And you start questioning in your heart, is this working? Did we even hear from God? Is this, what's going on here? And then when the time does finally come and you march around 7 times and Joshua finally says, now shout, and the people shout and the walls come tumbling down, when it's time to act, you act, and you go in active obedience. Silent obedience, persistent obedience, active obedience. Because we're talking about the Word of God for spiritual formation, right? We're talking about the Word of God to make a difference in how you live and how you work and how you walk it out in your life. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a minute? God may be preparing you for some things that you're not even aware of yet. God may be working in your life, working in your heart in ways that you don't even quite grasp. But I invite you today to actively ask the Lord, God, what is it you're calling me to? What is it you're calling me into? What is it you're calling me up to? And keep listening until you have an answer. And just know, some of the people around you may not understand. It may be something God is calling you to within the walls of the church. But don't be surprised if it's something beyond the walls of the church. Because we live in a dark and dying world that needs the gospel. Maybe today's a day to ask yourself in that question, what is God preparing you for? Maybe today's your day to say, you know what? I've known about Jesus for a long time, but I still haven't asked Jesus to come into my life and save me. Maybe today's the day, and Jack would pray with you. I would, Ethan would. Maybe today's the day for you to come before the Lord with a heart that says, God, I need you. I'm throwing myself on your mercy. Jesus, come into my heart. Where do you need to hear the Lord say, be strong and courageous? You may say, Rusty, I don't know. I don't live with a lot of courage. I usually, it's not courage that marks my life. Maybe today is a day for you to come and just simply pour out your heart to the Lord at the altar. We pray with you if you want, but you may want to find a place all by yourself to pray and just sort of press into that line that says, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And when it comes to the question, what's your call to obedience? Where's the trigger you need to pull? You may say, I don't know, and that's fair. But it may be that you know exactly what it is God is calling you to. You just don't have the guts to do it. And maybe the next step of obedience would be for you to just come and say it out loud. Again, to me, to Jack, to somebody to say, this is what God is calling me to. I don't even understand it. But this is what God is calling me to. And I just need to get it out there into the world.